Page 410, we're in the middle of the Aseret Dibros, we're on Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're in the middle of the Aseret Dibros of Shabbos. And the Pasuk in the middle of Shabbos, last week we learned that the seventh day of Shabbos, well, Shabbos comes, you have to picture as if all your work is finished, everything is ready for Shabbos. Sorry. And you, your maidservants, everybody is obligated, the animals that you own are obligated to keep Shabbos and so on. Now the Pasuk says, and this is a very interesting Pasuk that has a lot of depth to the meaning of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki sheishis yamim osa Hashem es ha-shamayim ve-sa-aretz. In 6 days, this is a literal interpretation. In 6 days, God made the heaven and earth. As the yam is called Hashibam, the yam, the ocean and everything in it. Vayonach v'yem ha-shvi, and he rested on the seventh day. So right away the Mefarshim asked the question, it's grammatically incorrect. The Pasuk should have said, Ki b'sheishis yamim. In 6 days, God created the heaven and earth. Why does the Torah say, Ki sheishis yamim, also, which implies, so to speak, that the six days made. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, there's a lot of different answers. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains that what the Pasuk over here means, and it's a very interesting concept, he said when God makes the world, he only makes it for 6 days. When Shabbos comes, that gives Hashem the strength and the desire to make it another 6 days. And it comes again, Shabbos, Hashem makes the world for another 6 days. So, Ki sheishis yamim asa, that Aracham says that the Pasuk means, God made the world for 6 days. He rests on the seventh, that gives him the koyach and the strength and the desire to make it more.
Good evening. We missed you in the graduation.
Okay. I'm glad you missed me.
Try again.
Just first of all, I was invited, but I wasn't allowed to come.
Why?
Because it said no man unless if you're the father.
My son is there, and he doesn't have a daughter there.
Yeah, you better believe it. There was a paper that came with the invitation that said, due to Tznia's concerns, only fathers or staff at the school is allowed to attend. Okay. Next time, read the note.
Regards from your mother.
Thank you. Now, the Pasuk says... One second. I know. So now the Pasuk says... The deeper meaning of the Pasuk, and it's really alluded to in Rabbeinu Bachaya, or Bachi, whichever way you pronounce it. And he says, Ki sheishis yamim asa Hashem. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, Ki sheishis yamim asa Hashem means the 6 days God made, meaning God made time. We discussed in the past, there's a famous question that Chassidus brings down from the philosophers. The philosophers ask a question, the world is 5,765 years old. So they say, why did God create the world 5,765 years ago? He should have created the world a million years ago. And they answer the question that it took a lot of time for the tzimtzum and the contractions and concealments and the limitations. It took everything a lot of time for God to get, so to speak, organized to make the world. So therefore it happened 5,765 years ago. So on this the Mekubalim ask, so then why didn't God start the process, that process earlier? And then the world could have been millions of years old and everybody would be happy. So the Mizritcha Magid answers, there's a fundamental concept in Chassidus, the Mizritcha Magid answers that time began with creation. There is no concept of time before creation. Because the definition of time is how long something exists. But if there's nothing, you can't have a concept of time.
No.
When world exists, when something exists, you can measure it how long it's existing.
Which world? This world that we live in?
This world, yeah.
Would there be dinosaurs that are like millions of
years old? No, they're not millions of years old. The Torah says that the world is 5,765 years ago. One second. So, it's the Mizritch Magid explains that you can ask the question, why did God create the world earlier? Because there was no earlier before time. Time began when the world did. And this is what Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that's what the Pasuk says here. Ki sheishis yomim asa Hashem, the 6 days God made. Meaning, not only that God created the world in 6 days, the concept of time, days, the 6 days asa Hashem God made. Now, I don't want to get off into a tangent over here, but very briefly to answer the questions that you just asked. It's not...
Everybody knows the question. How can you say...
The dinosaurs are so old. Okay. So the answer is a very... There's many answers to the question. Two basic fundamental answers, which are basic, that people should understand. Well, as the expression of the Mishnah, Dama Shatoshiv Lapikatus, you have to know what to answer in Apikatus. Whether it's an internal Apikatus, an external Apikatus, you have to know what to answer in Apikatus. When Hashem made the world, He made a finished world. He made a complete world. When Hashem made trees, He didn't create baby trees. He made full-grown trees. When Hashem made mountains, He created full-grown mountains. When Hashem made animals, they were full-grown. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Hashem created Adam Edition, He was a full-grown 20-year-old man. 20-year-old is basically a full-grown man. Meaning, when Hashem created Adam Edition, on day one of His creation, He was a day old. But He looked like 20. When Hashem made... Whether there were or aren't, I'm not even getting into that. But let's say there's a concept called dinosaurs, and there's no reason in Torah to think there wasn't. When Hashem made dinosaurs, Hashem created a full-grown dinosaur. That means on the day one of the dinosaur's creation, it was really one day old. It looked full-grown, could have looked millions of years old. So then when you find fossils and bones of dinosaurs, and they look like they were millions of years old, it's possible that they do look like millions of years old. But that doesn't mean they're not one day old at the time Hashem created them. That's issue number one. Okay? That's a fundamental concept to remember. Hashem made a finished world. He made dinosaurs. They were full grown. They could have looked millions of years old, but they were one day old. The bones, whatever the...
The fossils, the dinosaurs,
whatever. That's issue number one. Issue number two, the whole measuring of these types of creatures is only workable when you have a normal aging process. In other words, to interpolate, extrapolate, whichever way they figure it out. So from here to here it takes a certain amount of growth, so from here to here definitely takes a certain amount of years. Now that works when things run in the normal procedures, in the normal cycles of aging. You can have an earthquake that in 6 seconds can make the earth change, that could have taken in the normal gradual changing of earth could have taken millions of years, and it happened in 6 seconds. Okay? You can have a volcano in a mountain, an eruption in a mountain, that can, in 5-10 seconds, an hour or so, whatever, could change the mountain that normally would take thousands or millions of years. When you have a flood that came to the earth, okay, and washed away 3 tvachim, 3 handbreadths of soil, in 40 days, the marble changed the earth, what normally could have taken the normal aging process, it could have taken millions of years. And it's not a contradiction. There are certain things that can happen historically, and did happen historically, that can age the world in a way that it looks, or the fossils can look, millions and millions and millions of years old. And the truth of, and the reality of it is, that God created the world 5,765 years ago. That's the biblical, because... It's not even Jews. The religious goyim that follow the Bible and don't believe in evolution because they follow the Bible. According to the Bible, the earth is 5,765 years old. And it doesn't contradict all these theories that people found fossils and aging and all that. because that's what happened in that. So the Rabbeinu Bachaya says, Ki sheish es yomim means that God actually created time.
The fact that
one second. Gabba Maisis, what?
The other world that we say he created other worlds. We just
there's a spiritual world, no physical world.
Physical
no. World. According to Torah, God created one physical world. There's an Arachaim that speaks about Nun Alpha Yevlis, 50,000 Jubilee years. It's all Ruchnius. It's all spiritual levels. And even, by the way, when you find a concept in time, and this is what I'm going to get into now with Kishesh Yisyam and Chassidus, even though you find Chazal that say the concept of time before creation, for instance, the Torah says, Alpayim Shadna Kadma Torah La'elam. The Gemara says, Torah was 2,000 years before the world. It doesn't mean time-wise, because there was no time before creation. It means 2,000 levels above world. And to explain that is a Hasidic interpretation of Kishesh Yisyamim Asa. Like we said, the original question is, it should have said Bishesh Yisyamim, in 6 days. It doesn't say it. So either Kishesh Yisyamim Asa, Hashem, like the Aruch Haim says, God created the world for 6 days and then kept it going. Rabbeinu Bachaya explains, Kishesh Yisyamim Asa teaches as a God created time. Then there's the Hasidic interpretation, which says in Hasidus in Kabbalah, that why doesn't it say Bishesh Yisyamim? Because the Pasuk is teaching us that the six attributes of God, Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, created the world. And that's why it says, Kishesh Yisyamim, not in 6 days. The six Yomim are called Sfiras, are called days. Because Sfira means shining, Yom is shining, day. Kishesh Yisyamim means that the six Sfiras created the 6 days of creation. The first day was Chesed, second day is Gvura, third day is Teferes, fourth day is Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, and so on. And that's why many people are aware that those Jews that are a little bit superstitious, they know Monday is not such a good day. The reason why there's what's called Monday morning blues is not because it's the first day back to work, because Monday is the Inyan of Gvura. And Tuesday, as everybody knows, is a Mazel Dika day to start a business, to move, to whatever. Why is Tuesday a Mazel Dika day? So in Teda, because it says the word Kitov twice. Why is Kitov twice in Chumash on Tuesday? Because Tuesday is the attribute of Teferes, which is a combination of Chesed and Gvura. So when you have a combination of Chesed and Gvura, it comes out perfect. But the first day is Chesed, second day Gvura, third day Teferes. And Chassidus explains, and it's really a Ramban and Chumash, the Ramban explains at the beginning of Chumash that the six Sfiras, if you look at the creations of that day, correspond with the Sfira of that day. For instance, the first day is Chesed, Yom Rishon was Chesed, so therefore what did God create on the first day? Light. Light is a revelation. Light is an attribute of Chesed. Second day is Gvura. God made the heavens that split. Separation. Arguing. The third day is a combination of Teferes. Therefore, God created various different things. The fourth day is Netzach. So God created the sun and the moon, the luminaries, which is a sign of victory and power. And each day corresponds with that attribute of that particular day. We've discussed many times that Ramban, in the beginning of Chumash, extrapolates it to the 6,000 years of creation. Because we know, Ke'elef Shanim Beinecha Kiyem Esmel, by Hashem, one day is like 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is like a day. So if you look at creation, because just take the 7 days of the week, the 7,000 years of creation. The first 1,000 years of creation was the revelation of the attribute of Chesed. The second 1,000 years of creation was the revelation of Gvura. The third 1,000 year was the revelation of Teferis. The 4,000th year was the revelation of Netzach. Therefore, what happened the first 1,000 years? People lived very long. 950, 960, 930. They lived very long. That was the attribute of Chesed. What happened in the second 1,000th year era? was the attribute of Gvura. So God brought the flood that destroyed the world. The 3,000th year is the attribute of Tiferes. That's why God gave the Matan Torah. And the year 2448 is in the 3,000th year era. The 4,000th year era, Hashem created, made the Beis HaMikdash. The first and the second, which are likened to the sun and the moon. So each day of creation and each 1,000 years of creation correspond with the attribute of that day. So the Pasuk is saying that what actually created the world, of course Hashem created the world, but when Hashem created the world, it was through the attributes and the spheres of that particular day.
And the 5,000?
But now we're in the 6,000th year era. That's the level of Yesaid.
You didn't give a reason for why God destroyed the world in the second thousand.
The Jews were, people were, not Jews, people were bad. The flood, people were bad.
Everybody?
Yep, except Noah and his family. Now, the Mefarshim explained, that's as far as why it says, Sheshes Yomim and not Bisheshes Yomim. Now, over here, in this Ten Commandments, Hashem says, why do you have to keep Shabbos? Because God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. If you look in Vers Chanan, when Hashem repeats the Aseres HaDibros, if you look on page 970 on top it says you have to keep Shabbos. Why? In Pasuk Tezvav it says, why should you keep Shabbos? Because I want you to remember that you were slaves in Egypt and God took you out of Egypt, and therefore He commanded you to keep Shabbos. So over there in Vers Chanan it says a completely different reason. Here, God says, you know why you have to keep Shabbos? Because God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Over there the Torah says, you know why you have to keep Shabbos? Nothing to do with creation, by the way. Nothing to do with creation. It says, you should remember that you were slaves in Egypt and now God took you out. So why did God take you out? Under condition you should keep Shabbos. What's the difference between the first and the second? So the Mefarshim point out as follows. There's Shabbos for the world and the Shabbos for the Jews. Shabbos for the world is a concept of creation. 6 days God created the world and the seventh day rest. That applies to universal world. Even though a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos, a guy that keeps Shabbos, the Gemara says, Chayiv Mis is supposed to get killed. But nevertheless, it speaks about the concept of God as the creator, so that's universal for everybody. The second Aseres HaDibros discusses the unique relationship that God has with the Jews. And because God has this unique relationship with the Jews, so therefore the Torah says, you know why you have to keep that level concept of Shabbos? Because you were slaves in Egypt and God took you out of Egypt. Which is an additional factor to creation. Creation, that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, that's the relationship between all world and God. The second one goes into the detailed relationship between the Jew and God. Then there's a third aspect of Shabbos, by the way, which is the concept of Matan Torah. And therefore it's an interesting thing, I don't know if people in Stama realize it, but you know, Friday night, in the Shemoneh Esrei of Friday night, you say, Yismuchu v'malchuscha, Shem reshabbos v'kere yenig, and at the end we say, okay? If you look at Musaf, we say, Shachris, no such thing. we don't say Zeichel Lemaisa Bereshis. If you notice, if you daven in the city and you follow what it says, we leave out Zeichel Lemaisa Bereshis. So why do we leave out Zeichel Lemaisa Bereshis Shabbos morning? Musaf we say it, Maariv we say it, Mincha we don't say it. We don't say the whole thing in Mincha. But why do we leave it out Shabbos morning? So the reason is because there's another aspect of Shabbos that we talk about Shabbos morning, and that is Matan Torah. Yismach Meisha b'matnas chelkei u'shnei luchas avonim hated b'yodei. He took down the luchas, then the luchas said v'shomber b'nei Yisrael se Shabbos v'lei nesate Hashem alakein l'goya arotzis. He didn't give Torah to the goyim, and he didn't, you know, he gave a Torah to the Jews. So Shabbos morning, the emphasis is not on creation, the emphasis is on Matan Torah. So we say we don't say Zeichel Yitzias Zeichel Ma'aseh Bereishis because we want to emphasize the Matan Torah aspect of Shabbos rather than the creation of Shabbos, rather than the concept of creation. So that's why we leave it out Shabbos morning. Okay, so therefore Hashem made now, the Mechilta also asks a question. If somebody says God created heaven and earth, logically that would include the ocean too, no? Say, B'reishis bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-ha-aretz. Beginning God created heaven and earth. Anything that's on the heaven is the heaven. Anything that's on the earth is the earth. So why does it say here in the Pasuk, Yishesh yisyam asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve-ha-aretz, esa yom eskola shibam? Why is he saying the Yam? The heaven and earth includes everything. He doesn't say the mountains. He doesn't say the sky and everything in it. He says the heaven and earth. So why does he say as the Yam Eskola Shibam? So it says because the ocean, they write, the Mechilta writes, is equal to Shemayim and Oritz. Why? Because the ocean symbolizes the concept of purity. What?
Ocean is the water.
I understand. But why is he mentioning about the water? Because water symbolizes the concept of purity. So the Pasuk is saying God made the heaven and earth, and then the Yam, which is the concept of purity, that's the vital purpose of heaven and earth, is to bring purity into the world. So therefore it explicitly says that, and not only that, they write that it's also the earth, so to speak, has been completely explored. The ocean now more and more is becoming explored, but the ocean depth is not as explored, right, as much as, not as much discovered as the dry land. So therefore the ocean not only is a sign of purity, it brings out, so to speak, the hidden levels that's still hidden, that's not explored yet, discovered yet, that's not brought out yet, and therefore it mentions the Yam and the Kol HaShibam separately. Vayonach v'yem ha-shvi, and God rested on the seventh day. So the Mechilta asks, since when does God need to rest? Well, God overworked, he needs a break, he needs to rest. I mean, what expression is Vayonach v'yem ha-shvi? So he says, what the Medrash answer says like this: if God, who doesn't need to rest, rested on Shabbos, we who need to rest on Shabbos, for sure we should rest on Shabbos and make it a holy day, like we discussed, that you remove it from creation. What?
You were going to answer my question from 2 weeks ago about this. Remember?
2 weeks ago? What happened last week?
You said to remind him.
What was the question?
The question was that you say Hashem doesn't, if Hashem stopped creating for a second, the world would cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the whole thing about the idea of Shabbos being creation, stopping creating.
Right.
So you're going to answer this concept of
how Hashem creates on Shabbos?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened last week?
He forgot last week.
Okay.
Timer.
Huh?
Timer.
No, it's a timer.
I don't want to interrupt you.
The difference, okay, I mean, I said I was going to answer it, I have to answer it. I don't want to be called a liar. Even though I've been called worse.
Nobody will ever call you a liar.
Now.
Did you hear me?
I heard. I'm not deaf, thank you. There is different levels of creation. There is a level of creation, Hashem's speech. And there's a level of creation what's called Hashem's thought. Obviously Hashem doesn't think and Hashem doesn't talk. Not at least in our terms. But like we said, the difference, when the Torah says Hashem speaks, the Torah is speaking in human terminology that we should understand. And as the Mefarshim even point out on this word, Vayonach Be'yem HaShvi, it doesn't mean, God forbid, God rested. Not that God went to sleep because he was tired. It means, just like in our language, resting means you stop doing things. So Hashem stopped creating, so the Torah uses the word resting for us to be able to understand that a little bit better. Okay, that's the concept of it. Now, when Hashem creates with speech, like we said, what is speech? Speech in human terms is a revelation of something which is hidden. Speech is basically what you think is what you speak. First you have to think and then you speak. The difference is, when a person thinks, you don't see what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. And when I speak it, it's a revelation to somebody else. Correct? That somebody else can know what I'm thinking. So if I speak to you, I reveal something which is concealed. So therefore the concept of speech by a person is really the concept of revealing something hidden. When it comes to creation, there is a concept of Hashem has the power to create light. Hashem has the power to create the sun and the moon. That power was hidden. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem spoke, meaning Hashem revealed the power that he had, and it became created. That's the concept of speech when it comes to Hashem. But the concept of speech then, though, is a revelation that leaves the person. When you speak, your words leave you. That's why when you speak, you can tape your words. And you can play them over as much as you want, because the words are not yours anymore. In fact, there's a famous worldly doctrine and an expression that before you speak, you control your words. After you speak, your words control you. Because once you said it, it's too late. You can never take back your words. So therefore, the concept of speech basically is, I'm revealing something to you, but it's leaving me. Now, the truth is, God is all over, so nothing ever leaves God. Nothing ever can leave Hashem, because Hashem is all over. But nevertheless, in our realm of thinking, the words left, the power left Hashem, and the world became created. Thought is also like speech. We also think in words. You know, people think in different languages. You think words. But the difference is, my thought never leaves me. And therefore, if it never leaves me, it's concealed and hidden from you. Because it's still within me. If it's within me, you don't know what's inside me. What leaves me, you know, but what's inside me, you don't know. So therefore, on Shabbos it says, Hashem created the world with words of thought rather than the words of speech. Which means, on Shabbos, there is a holier level of Shabbos in the world. The Gemara, the famous Gemara, that asked, where do you see a physical revelation of Shabbos in the world? So the answer is Sambatyan Yechiach, the famous Sambatyan River, that a whole week spits up rocks, and on Shabbos it was quiet. Okay? That's where you see the concept of Shabbos in the physical world. The Gemara has an expression, it says a Yerushalmi, which is in Halacha also brought down, Ama'aretz Eina Meshaker B'Shabbos. And Ama'aretz does not lie on Shabbos. There's a din that if you come to an Ama'aretz's house, an illiterate, not a Torah scholar. And he says, I separated tithings and, you know, all that. You can eat the fruit. So then you're not allowed to eat it. Even if he says, I did it, you don't believe him. Why? Because he lies. That's what the Gemara says, he lies. What happens if you come to an Amor, it's his house in Shabbos, and he says, I tithed everything, you believe him. You believe him. So the question is, what do you mean you believe him? Why doesn't he lie? If he lies during the week, why doesn't he lie on Shabbos? So the Gemara answers, Yerushalmi says, because of Kedusha Shabbos, because of the sanctity of Shabbos, a person doesn't lie. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe in a passing explained, a lot of people lie a lot on Shabbos. People lie on Shabbos. You know, you tell them to come to shul during the year, I'll come, they lie. Anyway, so what's the answer? So the Rebbe explains, you don't know. Free choice is still not taken away from the person. In other words, by nature, the Yerushalmi says, you can't lie on Shabbos. If you choose to lie, you can go against your nature. But by nature, because of the Kedusha of Shabbos, you can't lie. They tell a famous story. There was once a noble, a king, a noble, used to go like to visit the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And he was once, he came into a Jew's house in Shabbos. And they served him cholent. And he loved the cholent so much that during the week he ordered his chef to go to the Jew's house to get the recipe for the cholent because he wanted the chef to make cholent on Wednesday night. So he got the recipe, mamish, exactly everything. They come back, he makes the cholent. It's not the same.
It's from the graduation class.
So,
if I can figure out which number called me, it would be pretty good. Anyway, so he came back to the guy and said, come on, I made exactly like you did. So the host, the Jewish host system, but you're missing one ingredient. He says, what, quick, I'll go buy it. He says, the ingredient is called... No, they don't know how to beat me, that's why he's a different place. The ingredient is called Shabbos. And because the ingredient is called Shabbos, he can't do it. So therefore, when the Pasuk says Hashem stopped creating, he means he stopped creating on that level of speech, but Hashem has to continually create the world with thought, otherwise the world wouldn't exist. Because it has to be continuous creation. What?
However, though, what about the fact that since there's always a point in the world that's not Shabbos, how does that work?
What? I'm going to rephrase this question. Shabbos is a holier day? Mm-hmm. Yeah? That means there's more Kiddush in the world than Shabbos? Mm-hmm. Right. Now, when it's Shabbos here in Australia, it's Sunday.
Right.
When it's Friday here, it's already Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Correct? I mean, there's time zones. So when is the real Kedusha of Shabbos coming into the world?
Tuesday to Tuesday.
On the time, on that location.
So in Shulchan Aruch, on the first page of Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe explains this concept according to Halacha, and he says that the Kedusha that God reveals on Shabbos is above time and place. So therefore, whenever that place is Shabbos, that's when the Kedusha comes in. So Amaris doesn't lie on Shabbos in the city where he is. Even though in a different city, it might not be Shabbos at that time. So the explanation is the Kedusha is higher than time and place. When you make the vessel for the Kedusha, meaning it's the 24 hours of Shabbos in your place, that's when Shabbos is. It's similar to the famous question that Rebbe brings down in Tanya, that in Apicatus, Esram Gamliel, he said, I don't understand. You rabbis say that whenever there's 10 Jews together, the Shechina rests. So he says, how many gods do you have? There's 10 people in this room, God is here. There's 10 people across the street, God is there. There's 10 people 10 miles away, God is there. He says, how many gods do you have? So Rabbi Gamliel answered the profound mashal of the sun in the sky. The sun is shining. There's one sun in the sky. If 10 houses have the curtains open, the sun shines in. Okay, it's the same sun. If you close the curtains, you don't have the sun. So he says, when there's 10 Jews, there's one God revealing itself. Where you let him in, that's where he is. Like the Kotzka once said, where is God? You know, the fact, where is God? He said, wherever you let him in. If you open the curtains, you have 10 Jews, just the curtains are open. God said. So in other words, there's a Kedush of Shabbos shining, revealing itself. When there's a vessel for it, meaning the place is Shabbos, in a physical time and place, so that's when the Kedush of Shabbos is. So on Shabbos, there is a creation, it's a different form, it's a higher form of creation, so to speak, with thought rather than with speech. Okay. Therefore, because of the holiness of Shabbos, God blessed the Shabbos, and he sanctified it. Now there's a double expression over here. God blessed the Shabbos and he sanctified it. What do you mean he blessed it and sanctified it? Meaning that, number one, God blessed and sanctified the Shabbos. The Ibn Ezra learns that it means that a Jew has the ability on Shabbos to get a greater, deeper insight and wisdom than they would during the week. It's one thing. Meaning, another thing is, a person who keeps Shabbos will be blessed and sanctified. Now, Rashi learns, by the way, Rashi quotes, here, what does it mean, Baruch, Beirach, Vayikatsheil, Akeim Beirach Hashem, 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 Vayikatsheil. So Rashi says, Beruchu Baman, God blessed it with the man, and he sanctified it with the man. What does it mean? Hashem gave a bracha to the man, and the man sanctified Shabbos. On Friday, double portion of the man fell. One for Friday, one for Shabbos. So Hashem blessed Shabbos by having a double portion fall on Friday. And Hashem sanctified Shabbos by having the man not fall on Shabbos. So Rashi learns that the pasuk refers completely to the man. That's the way Hashem blessed it. By breaking a double, and Vaikachoni sanctified it. Now, another interpretation of what it means is that Hashem blessed the day of Shabbos, that you're free from all worries. Like we learned, Vasisa kom lachtecha, when Shabbos comes, you're supposed to work, picture as if all your work has been done.
All of your thoughts come when you
Yeah. So maybe it's good not to daven. They say that somebody, I don't want to say it, because I don't know if it's true. They say somebody asked a Rebbe that they have very good thoughts in the bathroom more than the outside of the bathroom. So they say that the tzaddik said to them, so stay in the bathroom all day.
I can't think that.
Why do you think the Yetzer Hara makes them think better thoughts in the bathroom? Because that's where you're not allowed to think it. Okay. Another thing over here, another concept over here, Vayikatsheu, that God sanctified Shabbos, this is in contrast to Yom Tov. We learned, when we're learning the Haggadah, we explain this. In Davening and Shabbos, we say, in Kiddush, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Blessed is Hashem who sanctified the Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And Yom Tov, in Davening and in Kiddush, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Vahazmanim. He sanctified the Jews and the times. So the question is, why by Shabbos don't we say Mekadesh Yisrael Vahashabbos? By Shabbos we only say Mekadesh HaShabbos. And by Yom Tov we say Mekadesh Yisrael Vahazmanim. He sanctified the Jews and the Chagim. Why? So the simple explanation the Mefarshim say, Shabbos, Chazal used the expression, Mekatshe V'kayme. Shabbos is self-holy. It's nothing to do with the courts. Has nothing to do with individual people. The seventh day, God made holy. Vayikat Shehu, God sanctified the day. So in davening we say Baruch Atah Hashem, God who sanctified the Shabbos. Yom Tov, on the other hand, is up to the courts. Who proclaims Rosh Chodesh when Rosh Chodesh is? The courts. Like the Gemara says that the Malachim come to God and say, hey God, when's Rosh Hashanah? You know, we got a note to defend, to prosecute. So God says, I don't know. When the courts proclaim Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah. Like it says, At Elamed Hashem Asher Tikru Eisam B'mayadam, and don't read it Eisam, Atem B'mayadam, that the Gemara says, the power of Yom Tov was up to Beis Din. Beis Din proclaimed Rosh Chodesh. 15 days later, based on what they said, becomes a Yom Tov of Sukkot and Pesach and 10 days Yom Kippur, whatever it is. So who makes the Yom Tov holy? Jews make the Yom Tov holy. So therefore, by Yom Tov we say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. God sanctified the Jews who make the Yom Tov holy. But Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Alkein Berech Hashem is Yom HaShabbos v'yikadshehu. Shabbos' Kedusha is up to Hashem. Which is a reason why, in essence, Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. Because Shabbos is a Kedusha that comes automatic from God.
You said once there's a problem to have a non-Jew on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos?
No, that's a completely different thing.
Completely.
Now, Shabbos, you're allowed to have a guy at your table, Yom Tov not. Not Seder. Any Yom Tov, not to do with the Seder. Seder is not different than any other day. Yom Tov, you cannot have a guy. Shabbos, you could. Because Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook for a guy. So if you had a guy, you might cook for him. So Yom Tov, any Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you're not allowed to invite a guy.
Is he cooking already?
Doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter.
We're not learning halacha now. You come to the halacha class, you learn. Now,
yeah, but you said
if he comes, he rolls in, because you're not cooking for him.
We're not
learning those dinim now. Now, another thing, it says...
I know.
He was here. He left.
I'm missing him.
Now, the next aspect of Shabbos is Shabbos. Now that we're finished with this concept of Shabbos, Shabbos is a twofold thing within it. There's a concept that Shabbos elevates all the days of the previous week. Chassidus explains on the word Vayichulu Hashemayim Va'aretz. Vayichulu does not only mean he finished. Vayichulu comes to the word kiloyin v'tainug, a desire, a temptation, a pleasure. Shabbos elevates all the days of the previous week. And from the second side of it, minayim mizbarach and kula yemin, from Shabbos you get blessed all the next day, the next week. So Shabbos is a twofold thing. Shabbos elevates the previous week, to elevate all the days of the previous week. And therefore, you need the avoid of the 6 days of the week for Shabbos to elevate it. If not, what Shabbos is going to elevate? And then you have a second aspect of Shabbos, that Shabbos, my name is Baruch and Kuli Yemen, that Shabbos blesses all the 6 days of the week. And therefore, from one aspect, Shabbos is the end of the week, so to speak, and the beginning of the week. And then you have another concept in Chassidus and in Halacha, that Shabbos is the middle of the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday belong to Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday belong to Shabbos. So Shabbos is in the middle. That's where the Halacha is. If somebody forgot to make Havdalah, through when can you make Havdalah? You're allowed to make Havdalah through Tuesday. Why? Because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are connected to Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is also connected to Shabbos. Those are daven on Wednesday, and say Hayom Yom Revi b'Shabbos. At the end, we say Luchun Aranin Ola Hashem, which really doesn't belong to that Perek and Tillim. The Perek and Tillim ends Yatzmisim Hashem Alakenu. Luchun Aranin Ola is the beginning of the next Perek of Tillim. Why do we say it on Hayom Yom Revi? Why do we say Luchun Aranin Ola? Three psukim. It's called the mini Luchun Aranin Ola, because Wednesday is already starting the preparation for Shabbos. So Wednesday, we say the mini Luchuna Ranina. So you have Shabbos as the middle of the week, Shabbos at the end of the week, and Shabbos as the beginning of the week. So the whole concept of the week is focused around the Shabbos.